So, was it a nice dinner? What did they have?
We had a lot of cold cuts.
Okay.
We had deli from...
How come they never serve hot cuts? I like my meat hot. Why don't they serve a plate of hot pastrami, hot corned beef?
Well, you know, we did have... There was cold pastrami and cold...
That's what cold cuts are. The cold cuts of meat. Make it hot cuts.
Especially when
like
it's
that.
Fatty meat like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because if it's hot, the fat kind of drips off more, and you don't eat as much of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, let's see. We had, like, a couple of... we had some hors d'oeuvres.
Uh-huh.
We had some, of course, we started with lovely chopped liver.
Ooh, okay, very nice.
And some egg salad, tuna salad.
And it was all free.
Yeah.
Very nice.
There was the Brotherhood, the Sisterhood, and the PTA.
What do transgender people go
for? They don't...
The thinghood. We're having a thinghood at our temple.
No, they used to be either one or the other, and now they're a member of the other.
They don't know which bathroom to use. They pee in the utility closet.
No, they're one gender. They just move from one to the other.
Yeah, okay, I don't know.
That's actually a pretty good question.
Well, no, because...
That was the smartest thing I think you've ever asked.
No, actually, no. His question should have been about, what's hermaphrodites? Where do hermaphrodites go? Is that
so, what's the difference between transgender and a hermaphrodite?
Oh, God.
A transgender is someone who changes gender. And a hermaphrodite has the sex organs of both genders.
Oh, so it's like a genetic born kind of thing. You're born a hermaphrodite.
Yes.
Like Joe here.
Yes. It's true. It actually saves me time on Saturday nights.
He has a vagina.
Yes, I do.
And you have one toy that fits both. Anyway, I don't even know what that
is. You gave that to me for Christmas last year.
Yeah, did you like it?
It's only because you get tired of playing with him.
Ew.
That's very true.
Joe's going to be on another radio station doing the primary stuff on Tuesday night.
I guess.
If you go to his website, I guess you can figure out.
No, actually, you can't if you go to my website.
But it's not
website.
Super
There's nothing on there.
It's not Super Tuesday yet.
No, he's going to do primary. Why is Tuesday important?
It will be. Actually, the New York primary is on Super Tuesday. It is one of
It's on Super Duper Tuesday this year.
Tsunami Tuesday, or as I call it, February 5th.
Aha. Uh-huh. So it's not this Tuesday. It's
a week from Tuesday.
This Tuesday is
the Florida primary.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I have...
Rudy Giuliani will finally lose and finally leave the race.
Why is it so?
Or not.
Why do you hate him so much?
I don't hate him. I just find him, you know, his entire campaign is based on a series of lies, essentially.
Which are?
The primary.
What? No, being the hero of 9/11, which is obviously a crock.
Right.
For anyone who knows about it.
Well, that's not quite true.
Well, he has also, Giuliani has put, really, his entire energy on Florida. He seems to think that if he somehow wins the Florida primary...
Because all the old Jews are there.
Right. That will springboard him to the national nomination. That has never happened before. No Republican since 1980 has gone on to receive the party's nomination without winning South Carolina.
That's only 25 years ago. Okay,
Well, Commissioner Wisdom tells us a lot.
27.
John McCain won South Carolina this time.
Yeah. You think McCain has the inside track now?
I think he does. I think McCain, of everyone running, has the most experience.
Well, in a prison camp. No, yeah, you're probably right on that.
That was cold.
I know. It was cold in the prison camp.
No, it was in Vietnam. It was actually quite warm.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just going for the joke rather than the reality, kind of like most of the candidates are. But Jeff, what you seem to feel that Giuliani... It wasn't just PR opportunity, that Giuliani actually was...
Yeah, Giuliani took control of 9/11, unlike some people who got up onto a pile and said he was in control.
Yeah, and also between the first attack on the World Trade Center in 1993 and the second one in 2001, he did nothing to protect it, so... He is as much to blame for 9/11
as anyone
else.
He put all the defenses in the...
Well, exactly, that's kind of dumb, right?
Well...
And as a theater person and an arts person, you must, I guess, object to what he did during the NEA years and bitching about the art and all that.
What was it?
It was the fecal painting.
Yeah, I love those.
Really crappy artwork.
It was a fecal, it was like elephant dung, Mary.
Yeah, except elephant dung has a different connotation than it does here. They use it. I mean, it's used for a lot of things over there.
Yes.
Over where?
India.
Over there. No, Africa.
Was actually where it came. Oh, was it? Oh, was African dung?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, no, African just is elephants. They, you know, they'll use it for cooking, and that's about it.
All right, let's get off the subject.
No, wait a minute. No, that I'm making a point about Giuliani.
Oh, no, well, Giuliani, first of all, I think he did a very good job with the city of New York.
Oh, with crime, absolutely.
With crime,
a major thing.
The city was in bad, like, disrepair and stuff.
Like the Beam Koch years, you know.
Yeah.
I like Mayor Koch.
Well, no, not the Koch years. The Dinkins years did it, man. We had
it ran down under Beam,
and Dinkins kind of did this contract with the tennis authority to build the tennis stadium, where he got like great seats for the rest of our lives, and the city of New York got a bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what? It turns out that it's a nice stadium, and it's always on TV, and it's become
very, very costly.
It was a boondoggle, right? You know.
And so Giuliani inherited a very bad economy. He inherited crime like crazy.
Yeah.
And don't confuse me with the Giuliani supporter. But his campaign is not built around 9/11. It's built around the fact that he was actually mayor of a large city, so he has the most experience because
all 9/11.
Because he ran a government and
for 8 years.
Yeah.
Or was it eight?
But
as opposed to Obama, who has run nothing, and Hillary Clinton, who's been a senator and has spent her entire senatorial campaign campaigning for president.
Historically, senators do not make good presidents. Governors do. Mm. Because governors are basically the CEO of the state, and the president is the CEO of the country.
Interesting.
Senators, you know, they...
And the mayor is the CEO of the city.
So, let me put it to you this way. You used to be a very, and maybe you still are, a staunch right-wing Republican. You're not that right-wing, but you're Republican now. You're still Republican or not?
Registered so I can vote for Ron Paul in the primary, yes.
So Ron Paul is your guy, but if you were voting Democrat, who would you vote for?
Obama. I would go with Obama.
Because?
Why?
Because I'm so tired of the Clintons. I do not want part two of the Bill and Hill show.
The Bill and Hill. I like the Bill and Hill show. Obama said it's time for a change. You know what he's thinking? Everybody said, "Oh, yeah, it's time for a change. Time for a change." I don't mind 8 years of Clinton.
We did very well.
You know, here's the thing.
I have news for you. Look at where you were 8 years ago. Were you better or worse off than you were 8 years ago?
The old Reagan question. Yeah. I mean,
which actually was a Nixon question, which was
the Nixon question.
Of course, was.
So, what were you going to say, Joe?
But are you better or worse off than you were 8 years ago?
Personally, I'm better off now.
And who you think that's because of the great president?
No, I think it's because of me.
Your skin cleared up, and you know, the herpes went away. It was yeah.
Thanks, no thanks to you, Dave.
I know.
You know what? If you compare the Bush administration to the Clinton administration, obviously the Clinton, by comparison, looked better.
Much.
Just because we always look back to the older days. However, this was an administration that was under siege by paranoia.
The Bush administration,
a president who put politics ahead of everything else. You know, everything he did was political.
Who?
Well, that's what a politician does.
No, he did certain things under the desk.
I don't think
they were at all.
Lest we forget the scandals. Not just Monica, but everything else.
Well, Monica was not a scandal. Monica was BS drummed up by the Republicans.
I do not want more of that. I would like to see Obama get the nomination and ultimately win. I think a black president would do a lot of good for this.
That's
when
we talk about Dinkins becoming mayor of New York.
Dinkins is an idiot, and he always was an idiot. We're not talking about it. We're talking about
the
country.
Obama's no idiot, but
it's very different.
Experience.
So what?
Well, and Jeff and I have talked about this, but I'll make my one analogy. It's not about color.
Do you really want someone who's been in Washington for 30 years? I don't want someone with that much experience.
Yeah, but you know what happened? I felt this way, and I think America felt this way, after Nixon and Ford. And they were like, God, let's just get all these horrible Republicans out of office. Nixon was a disaster for this country. He wasn't really in so many ways, but you weren't around, but the mood of this country was so poisonous thanks to Nixon and after Nixon and what happened. And then Ford pardoned him, and it was just like, let's get a breath of fresh air. Let's get somebody really cool and young and well-spoken and smart. And who did we get? We got Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
The worst president up until George Bush. Worst president in the past 50 years besides him.
I'm happy that someone like you, who is, admittedly, you know, on the left...
Democrat, yeah.
...and admits that Jimmy Carter was a failure. He was.
Oh, hello.
He was a total failure.
Yes. Yes, he was his only... You know, Israel, Egypt, okay. Brilliant. Wonderful. Everything else, a disaster. But what I'm saying is...
Of course, now we know that he hates Israel and is an anti-Semite.
You knew it then. But I'm serious about the point that we elected him specifically because he was a breath of fresh air, and he seemed smart
because
and different.
Because he was an outsider.
He liked Bob Dylan. He was, like, well-spoken. He was a scholar. it didn't. He was the wrong.
I don't know if Jimmy Carter is the best example for voting, electing someone who is an outsider. Jimmy Carter was a lightweight on all the issues, every issue.
Okay.
A total dolt. I don't think Obama's the same way.
No, Obama is very smart, but he still does not have the experience. I think if you get
what experience do you need
to run a country?
First of all, the president alone doesn't run everything.
Well, no.
That's why he has the advisors.
Yes, but he has to have a good pool of people around him. Now, if
Obama, and that's what Hillary would have.
Yes. If Obama got elected, he doesn't have that group of people. He has people who've helped him become president, maybe, but and then he's going to have to pay back all these people who are not going to have the experience that the Billary people are going to have.
Billary?
Hillary,
is Edwards out of the race?
No,
or?
He's not, and he won't be. He won't leave.
Because he lost his home state.
Now this is a guy who spent 4 years in Iowa and came in second, a distant second. This is a guy who comes from South Carolina, who won the South Carolina primary in 2004 mm-hmm. and came in a distant third. John Edwards, and I'm not going to mince words, is a loser and should just bow out, should just go away.
But he's
I do not want another Southern accent in the White House, unless it's Andy Griffith.
I get that.
But okay, Ben Matlock in 2008.
Matlock, he'll be dead by two. No, maybe Andy Griffith. I hope he's well. I just saw him in a movie. He was in Waitress. He was very delightful.
He was very good.
Yeah.
He said bastard.
I know.
That Bloom is like, Matlock? No, you can't say
Matlock. Didn't he say something worse than that?
He said jackass.
Yeah, or a word that...
Why are we saying that? Because you're just taunting him to say something bad.
Did he use an S or an F word in the movie? I thought he did.
Oh my God,
it was Matlock.
I didn't actually see the movie.
Andy.
I just saw that one clip on YouTube of him in the diner.
Oh, by the way.
It's a nice little movie.
Speaking of things like that, did you see the other day that the Carol Channing was involved in a bank robbery or something?
What?
She goes... We were robbed.
Oh, she wasn't involved. She was.
No, she was in the bank when the bank got robbed or something. She goes, they just moved to California, and we all got robbed.
Oh my God!
She's still alive.
Well, yeah,
that's more surprising.
Yes, she was robbed.
I'm still a virgin, unless I'm greatly mistaken, and I'm not kidding.
Oh
no, she's no virgin. She moved in with her husband.
Wait, not the husband, not Charles, the guy she divorced and all that stuff. Did she meet another guy after that and finally get some action?
I think so.
Mazel tov. Sorry for poor Carol.
I forgot that.
Diamonds are a robber's best friend, I'll tell you that, you know.
She was like so incoherent. I don't know.
Oh.
She goes, we were all robbed. It was crazy.
I didn't even read about that. So it's awful, but it's funny.
You have to Google Carol Channing during the interview.
I'm looking it up now.
Yeah,
this is from.
If there's YouTube on it, I can actually play it.
This is from WBZT, which is the CBS affiliate in. California.
Yeah.
Singer and actress Carol Channing was one of the patrons inside a bank in Palm Desert, California, when it was robbed. A man robbed the Washington Mutual Bank on Friday afternoon, according to the Riverside County Sheriff's Department. The man handed the teller a note demanding cash, and the teller complied. He left with an undisclosed amount of cash
and a lipstick smear.
And was last seen walking south in the parking lot. No weapons were observed.
Is there a clip of the Carol Channing interview? Because they actually did an interview with her outside.
No, just a... yes, there is.
Is there really? Maybe you can either point the mic at the computer or I can maybe try and find the URL.
Well, right now there's
a
nice 15-second advertisement for a ski lodge that I'm going to try to go over. If you can't, just pop my mic down for a second.
Sure. There we go. Joe's finally quiet. We have 2 minutes left, by the way, and a little big time before we get to Dave's Gone By Tonight and Sheldon Harnick, our special guest. Also... Joe will be hanging with us.
Police say the suspect handed the teller a note demanding cash, and then he ran out. Several people were in the bank at the time, including Carol Channing.
Well, along with a lot of other people, I've been robbed. We just bought a new house. It's really the first house I've ever had, and not a hotel. This is our house, and they robbed us.
But she wasn't. She was robbing a bank.
While police investigated, the suspect is still at large.
Well, I heard there was a longer version of that, and she goes on. It was like really weird because she goes on. It's really a first house, not in a hotel. And she's like, then she starts going into me. It's like, and we were all robbed.
Wow. Wow. That's quite... Oh, poor Carol.
There's something hilarious about the bank was robbed, and patrons including Carol Channing. I was robbed.
Robbed.
You were all so cruel.
Yes.
it was.
She's, what, like 185 years old?
But it is like personal appearances.
But God bless her, she was in the bank getting robbed.
Right. Hey, we've been robbed of our
time. She was making a $20 deposit. They took my $20. I want it back.
I was snorting cocaine off it. God, shameful.
I certainly hope you ran that disclaimer before this.
The views expressed on the previous and following program do not necessarily represent the views of the staff and management of WGBB.
But it does with Carol Chan.
We'll be back in a minute or two or three, promise, with Dave's Gone By.
You'll be robbed.
Terrible.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you'll be listening to AM 1240, WGBB Freeport, the station that killed Malcolm. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I see flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, on this Sunday night, January 27th, 2008, to the 257th episode of Dave's Gone By on this fine radio station, WGBB. I'm Dave Lefkowitz. Hello, radio personality and all that kind of good stuff. And I'm joined not only by my usual guest co-host, Mr. Jeff Goodman. How are you, Jeff?
Great. It's already 257.
It's number 257, yes.
It seems like last week it was 256.
Doesn't it? It doesn't time fly. And it flies because I have guest co-hosts like you and special extra unexpected guest co-hosts like Mr. Joe Salzo.
What do you mean unexpected? I emailed you.
I know, but you never, like, confirmed or anything like that. You just like, oh, I might stop down on Sunday night.
You mean my people didn't confirm?
Hmm. No, I guess not.
I'm going to have to talk to my mom.
And you have to be more serious, quote unquote. Little serious radio over there.
Very little.
Thank you very much.
I hate you so much.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, likewise. How are you guys doing? Really, seriously, did you have a good week?
I'm a little tired.
That intro.
Oh, then.
Jeff hates it.
Well, okay. Why would? This is the station that killed Malcolm.
You are really, really asking for a race riot, aren't you?
He shot you the most hateful glance, and it. I don't know
he knows I hate those things.
It's a glance I know only from my wife. So
you know I hate that kind of stuff when you do that.
Oh, crap.
Well, yeah, but that's what I do. Some of what I do.
Makes me
laugh. Also, some other things of what I do is review and talk about the theater. So we're going to do that on Inside Broadway, including not a lot of Broadway news, but Jeff and I went to see a show this afternoon on Broadway, a revival of Come Back Little Sheba.
And did she come back? No.
Well, we'll tell, but it brought Esapetha Murkerson back to Broadway, which is always a good thing, so we will review Come Back Little Sheba on Inside Broadway, and I'll be talking to a legendary Broadway lyricist later in the show, Sheldon Harnick.
And that's two words, legendary.
With his legendary air, I guess. No, I don't know what that means.
What?
This is the man who wrote Tenderloin.
Why
this
do
is the man
say stuff like that, David? What?
Why not? Why wouldn't I? It's 11 o'clock on Sunday, you know.
And we're very serious.
All the thousands of people listening are hanging on my
Sheldon
every Harnick word.
Is probably going, why?
Thousands.
Oh, hundreds of thousands of listeners.
Our unit of
Well, no, but, you know, this is a lot of people's way of coasting into the new week. They don't want the news is depressing. You know, this is they get a laugh on a Sunday night, then they go to bed, and they wake up Monday morning with a hangover. That's the way it works.
It's true. Like every don't you know that it's been proved that half Long Island, half of every Long Islander listens to Dave's Gone Wild.
Half of every Long Islander.
Which half?
The better half.
The half that poops probably. But
we are piped into the bathrooms of the best men's rooms in Nassau County.
Not just the best, because that's classist. The best and the worst. Which I'm quite proud of. Anyway, let's thank our sponsors so we can get rolling and actually do
okay.
The show. Who are our sponsors, Jeff Goodman?
Who are our sponsors? What?
They would have to be if they're advertising on this show.
Catty. He is so catty.
I know.
He said who are.
Who are. Sorry. Rented lips, as Steve Allen used to say. Who are our sponsors? That's a tough thing to say. Yeah.
Who are our sponsors?
You're right. Who are.
Who are our sponsors?
Who are our sponsors?
Not easy. Not easy.
You mean it's not easy?
So who sponsors the
who
show?
Who the hell sponsors the show, Jeff Goodman?
I have no idea.
Yes, you do. Hewlett-Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway.
They're right across from Lohman's and next door to Lohman's Shoes.
And 10% off. This is Jeff's thing. Why is that amusing?
I don't know. It's a nice point of reference, I guess. If I need to know where it is, I can just...
You ask any Jew in the Five Towns, where's Lohman's? Oh! Lohman's! It's next to Minuteman Press!
It is a good reference point. And please, everybody, refer to Hewlett-Minuteman Press, because when you go there, you get 10% off any job, big or small, if you mention Dave's Gone.
And if you mention me, you get 40% off.
No, you don't. No, you don't. But maybe if you go to Fancy Schmancy Balloons...
And you mention me.
You get a nice discount. What do you get? If they mention this show and they call Fancy Schmancy Balloons...
We just charge them a little extra.
Because you know you can bamboozle them, because if you listen to this show, you know you can get anything from them.
That's right.
516-797-3229 for all your party decorating needs.
We're the Balloon Kings of Queens, I don't know.
Yeah, right. 516-797-3229. If you're having a party, you want balloons, you want centerpieces, Fancy Schmancy Balloons, the place to call. MortgagesRock.com.
You know, you ask me the question.
I
want to
get
answer.
Rolling.
MortgagesRock.com, where you can become your own mortgage broker and make a lot of money.
Yeah. More, and it's all at the website. You know, they have a storefront, and they also have really
lovely people
on the phone.
But you don't even have to talk to the people.
Nope, you can go right to the website and find out everything about being a mortgage broker at MortgagesRock.
It's so today, it's all online.
Yeah, and Performing Arts Insider, which is not, well, it has a website, but that's an actual hard copy theater magazine that has been around for 65 years,
and
Performing
what is it
Arts
not?
Insider. I'm sorry?
I'm waiting to hear what it's not.
No, it's in other words, it's not an online publication. It has a website, but the actual publication is hard copy, not online.
And
so
Dave will personally deliver it to you for the most part.
If it saves postage, you darn well bet I will.
Yeah, but who will drive you?
Well, I'll bike it. Right. So, but anyway, there's a really great discount on it now. So if you get the monthly
you
subscription...
You 47 cents a week. It's great.
Actually, that adds up over the course of a year.
So how much is 47 times 52?
You do the math. 200 and something? I don't know. Probably, you don't save that much. That's actually a lot of money. You don't save that much. You save, I think, about $60 a year.
50 cents a week is, by the way, $50 savings.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
All right. It's a Sunday night. My brain's not working. Anyway.
I'm sorry. It'd be a $25 savings, right?
And by the
because
way, speaking
if you
of
save
websites.
$1 a week, you'd save $52.
All right. So it's $25. I'm potting your mic down just so I can get this part
okay.
out.
Okay.
I want to remind everybody.
Help me.
I want to remind everybody that if you haven't been able to get to my website, davesgoneby.org, for a week or two, it's because a couple of the websites that I have are being moved to a different server. And that should be all done this week, and everything will be repointed. You can still get to the Dave's Gone By website, but you have to go to that old URL of hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By instead of going to davesgoneby.org, which pretty soon you'll be able to point to that again, and it'll be fine. Anyway, let's get right to the show. Got a commercial or two to do. We'll go to Inside Broadway and then Sheldon Harnick all on Dave's Gone By tonight. Don't go away.
Moby Dick, Ulysses, War and Peace, the Bible.
big freaking deal. If you want to read a real book, a funny book, try Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, a collection of comedies by Dave Lefkowitz, me, the host of Dave's Gone By. Each play is stage-tested and relatively safe for public consumption. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, available from Holvo Books on the Dave's Gone By website. It's the great American something. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Actually, hearing that that Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World commercial that I did a while back reminded me of something, aside from the fact that you can buy the book. Have some kind of big news that's official, pretty much confirmed.
Is your wife
don't go there, Jeff.
I love going there.
Who's the daddy?
I'm sorry?
Who's the daddy?
I daddied the book.
Number 47.
One of the plays in the book called Blind Date is actually going to be performed again in New York towards the end of March. There's a small theater company that's going to be doing it at the Richmond Shepherd Theater at the end of March as part of a one-act festival. I'm going to get to see one of my plays up again. Yeah.
It's Theater for the Deaf and Blind.
I still have the copy of the book that you sold to me.
Really? Yeah.
He actually gave me money
to buy the book. Yeah. Did you read it or no?
I did.
Oh, did you like it?
So that was one of the three that you sold?
It was interesting.
Oh, just interesting. Thanks.
It was interesting.
Okay, you can leave that. No, but I hope they play better. I think they read pretty well.
Dave, I think we really have to dedicate this Inside Broadway segment to Carol Channing and just hope she gets over the tragedy that befell her this weekend.
She just bought a new house, you know.
Yes, it's a first house. It's not a hotel.
If people weren't listening like 3 minutes before we started when we were goofing off in the previous show,
good for you.
Carol Channing got robbed in a... Well, it was somewhere in a bank. Yeah.
But she came out and the television reporter, we're trying to get this up on the air now. The television reporter, they decided that of all the people, don't ask the teller who was robbed. Ask Carol Channing, who was in the neighborhood.
Oh, so she wasn't even in the bank?
No, she was in the bank.
She
didn't really get robbed. You have to understand that the guy came up to tell her, passed the teller a note, the teller gave the money to this guy, and the guy left. And Carol's going, I got robbed. We all got robbed.
We just bought a house.
And then it turned into like the Carol Channing Odd News Hour.
Well, it would, wouldn't it? Considering her.
Can you find it again?
Yeah.
I want to hear Carol Channing saying, I got robbed. We have to have this on tape for a continual loop. I got robbed.
The bank. My house. I have a new house.
Meanwhile, she didn't lose a nickel. Carol, get over it. Mm. They'll still pay your interest.
No, it's creepy. It's creepy to be there. She's 80-something years old.
Well, she probably didn't even know it, because the guy was probably quiet, and they kept everything quiet.
Anyway, while Joe is finding out, we'll save that for the end of the news segment. Let's get to it. So, Broadway
Carol.
News...
So, wish Carol well.
I wish Carol well. Inside Broadway News, Purple Haze on Broadway's Brain. The color purple is closing. It's announced a closing date, February 24th, at the Broadway Theater.
And you know, Oprah actually announced it on her show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, she's one of the main producers of it. Her money kept it going. I wrote an article about this for theaternewsonline.com. And I said what happened was they ran out of one named saviors. Because when the show opened, the critics didn't really like it, but Oprah put $1 million and all her moxie and muscle behind it. So you had Oprah, and then LaShawns, who was the first star of it, won the Tony Award. It was nominated for like 11 Tonys. It only won one, and it went to LaShawns.
Because it was that good.
She was all right. And then when LaShawns left, they actually got someone who really energized the critics and the audiences loved from American Idol, Fantasia. But then Fantasia's contract was up, and they couldn't get anybody in, and now it's so gross is literally dropped in half.
I told you who they should have gone with.
Who?
Monique.
You know, but she couldn't have played Celie. She would have had to play a different role.
No, I think Monique playing Celie, you just get her to diet a little.
a lot, but anyway.
Well, you know, half of Monique could do it on the matinees, and the other half could do it on the evenings.
Nicely put. Let's see. Hey, I want to just tell everybody that one of the off-Broadway theater companies has announced its upcoming season featuring Sweet Jane at Primary Stages. They've kind of gotten the jump on their new season. So they're going for the same usual kinds of playwrights. A.R. Gurney is going to have his play Buffalo Gal done.
Well, I like that show.
You know it?
No, it's just kind of...
Okay. Well, Gurney wrote Love Letters, he wrote The Dining Room, and this is a story about a TV star who goes back to her hometown after her career has waned a little bit to do a play, and then she gets an offer to go do something else. So that's his play. Also, Lee Blessing, very talented playwright, is going to have A Body of Water done at Primary Stages. That's gotten
Which body of water would that be?
I don't know. But it's a cute premise.
I hope it's the Pacific.
It's about two men in a very idyllic setting. They wake up, they don't know each other, they don't know where they are or how they got there. And that's the premise of the play. Kind of interesting.
Hmm.
And then speaking of that kind of thing, Shipwrecked, an entertainment, is going to be part of the Primary Stages season.
Which is actually a lot of fun to say. Shipwrecked.
An entertainment.
It has a K and an E-D.
Yeah. Donald Margulies wrote that one. He's the guy who wrote Dinner with Friends. And it's an adventure tale.
Ooh.
Something like a Baron von Munchausen kind of story.
Ooh.
And then the last play of the 08-09 season at Primary Stages will be Chasing Manet by Tina Howe, starring Jane Alexander. And just remember when Jane Alexander was almost kind of like a... She was never an ingenue, but, you know, attractive, fairly young. Well, she's playing a character in a nursing home now. Oh, well.
Aww,
makes
goodbye,
you feel
Fidel.
So damn old, you know?
Goodbye, Fidel. That was the show she did.
Well, The Great White Hope also, that was what she was known for. Anyway, yes, Virginia, there will be another New York Fringe Festival.
Yay!
The 12th already. Has it been 12 years? Unbelievable. August 8th through the 24th, the present company will be producing the Fringe Festival. Last year's Fringe NYC was honored by Mayor Bloomberg with the 2000 Mayor's Award for Arts and Culture, which is an award that previously went to Woody Allen, Stephen Sondheim, and the Public Theater. I've got one more story before Joe. Do you have the Carol Channing thing ready?
I'm actually on the official Carol Channing website.
Excellent. Oh, wonderful. Now,
she's been robbed.
Theater by the Blind is changing its name. They're now going to be Theater Bumping into Walls. No, I'm kidding about that. They're changing their name to... How's
Theater
this
by
memorable?
The Non-Sighted.
Yeah, right. Theater by the Dimly Cataracted. No, it's Theater Breaking Through Barriers. Is that awful or what?
It sounds like they're going to trip over, like, you know, stop signs.
Well, you know why they did that? I realized because they get to be TBTB still. Before it was Theater by the Blind, TBTB. Now it's Theater Breaking Through Barriers. They get to keep, well, I guess their logos. They don't have to pay for new logos.
Because TB is a very popular logo.
Well, also, you know, they can't see it anyway, so they might as well keep it. It's the same bumps.
So they can feel.
But they say the reason they're doing it is because it hasn't just been about the blind. They've had disabled people as well, so they're trying to be more inclusive. Let's see. I don't know why I found this amusing. I just did. Their second production that they have already done, The Rules of Charity, was written by a disabled playwright, John Beluso, who's also dead now. The play's action center...
He's a little more than disabled, then.
Yeah, right. He's differently lived. The play's action centers on a man using a wheelchair, and the company of six integrated a vision-impaired actress and an actor with cerebral palsy.
Oh, God.
As well as a stage manager working from a wheelchair. Again, I don't know why. It's just this concatenation of
like
frailties.
Eight wheels in search of a plot.
Oh, and last piece of news. I forgot about this one. You want to do it for this one? Because I mentioned it before about Legally Blonde.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, Legally Blonde is going to do something Trey unique.
Yeah.
But it's on MTV, as soon as Laura Bell Bundy's contract is up and she decides to leave, Legally Blonde is going to have a national talent search, I guess,
right,
on MTV.
They're going to do a reality show,
yeah,
to pick the next league, probably not just the main character.
To which I said, I want you to know, that when Dave told me that, I went, oh, my God. And he went, what? Said, oh, my God. I said, what? I said, Dave, did you ever hear the, see the show?
Because
all she says in the show is, oh, my God.
Well, what happened, it's a show that made no lasting impression on me. I saw it, it was okay, and I didn't remember a minute of it after I left the theater. Although, it's, I'm in the minority because a lot of the critics kind of liked it, and 12.5 million people watched MTV's airing when they showed the musical. So, there
you
go.
Oh, my God.
I will say that Laura Bell Bundy and the original cast will stay with it. They've extended their contract until spring, and that's when I guess they're going to
They're going to have a spring awakening.
Nicely put. So, Joe, do we have Carol or not?
You know what? I've actually been so busy reading the guest book signings on her website.
On Carol's? Read one, and then we've got to go to commercial.
Let me read the most recent one.
Yeah.
This is dated today.
Okay.
5:58 p.m.
Is it from me?
No, it's not from you. This is from someone in Vancouver, Washington.
Uh-huh.
I have always enjoyed Carol. She has lifted my spirit, plural, more than once watching her over the years. I now hear that she will be singing on a Dottie Rambo recording. I can't wait to hear it. Carol will make our spirits soar through the roof. God
Aww.
Bless, Friar Keith.
Friar Keith.
Friar Keith.
Oh, yeah, and monks aren't gay and close. yeah.
Well, but come on, where is Ivan Rahm? Is there is there mention of her tragedy on the website?
No, not on the website. I looked on the they actually have a news section. I thought it would be like, you know, CNN feeds, but it's not. No mention of her tragedy while going to the bank.
Well, can we try and get that so we play it for our people?
Yeah, at some
after
point.
The commercial.
After the commercial. Go look for it.
You got
we'll
it.
Be right back after this message from Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. If you love Broadway, Off-Broadway, Cabaret, Opera, and Dance, isn't it time you subscribe to Performing Arts Insider, the ultimate guide to everything on the stages of New York? Listings, reviews, box office, and production news, all at 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. To subscribe or get a sample issue, call 516-295-1511, 295-1511, or see PerformingArtsInsider.com.
Suspect handed the teller a note, demanding cash, and then he ran out. Several people were in the bank at the time, including Carol Channing.
Well, along with a lot of other people, I've been robbed. Robbed. We just bought a new house. It's really the first house I've ever had, and not a hotel. This is our house, and they robbed us.
Our house, and they've robbed us on our street. Our house. Oh, poor Carol. Oh, well. Oh, well. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back with Inside Broadway on Dave's Gone By tonight. On this 27th of January, we're going to have Sheldon Harnick on in just a few minutes. But first, Jeff and I went to the theater this afternoon, and we went to a matinee of Comeback Little Sheba.
A 2 o'clock matinee.
2 o'clock, yeah, rare Sunday afternoon, because usually they start at 3 o'clock, and that's why I grabbed this one. But what did you think of Comeback Little Sheba, the revival?
I thought we were robbed.
No, especially since I don't think we paid to get in, no, but yeah.
No, I love Essa Paith Merkinson. Every time
she plays the lead character, yeah.
She's Lulu or something. What was
Lola.
Lola. And she's wonderful. And it's just, I think, a dated drama. It's a 1950s melodrama.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Your mic was being kind of odd. Can you talk a little closer, Lane?
Yes, I can.
There
Dave.
We go. Okay, cool.
Okay.
No, and we got
well,
that. And
it was a 19th.
Why is it dated? What's dated about it?
Well, considering it's 40, 50, 60 years old.
So is Long Day's Journey Into Night.
I know.
So come
but
on,
it's
so
about.
So is Medea. You know.
It's about the evils of the liquor.
Yeah, okay.
But that's about it. I mean, it's really, you know, it's
no,
character
it's
study.
It's about her. It's not about him.
It's a character study, but it's also how people are misunderstood and how liquor really, you know, and everything that's wrong with everything has to do with liquor. And it all
liquor,
comes back
I
to
never
booze.
Touched her. Yeah, thank you very much. What did you think of Kevin Anderson? I liked his performance.
I
thought for Alcoholic Husband.
He was good until he got a little violent, and I didn't think that scene was...
Really?
Yeah, I thought he held back on all of his emotions up until then.
Right.
I thought even then he was a little held back. Instead of just letting go. I didn't, you know. I loved it. You know, we were discussing intermission in Act 1. I really liked it because it was so held back and everything.
Because it's a very repressed character. He hasn't had a drink in a year, and then all these events kind
of. Well, that you know of.
You know, there is that moment when he's holding his forehead early in the show. He's like, he wakes up in the morning, it looks like he's had a little headache.
Uh-huh.
And you wonder, well, maybe he's been on a bender here
and also
there.
Because when what he does, he always knows the liquor's there. And after he goes on his bender, he comes back and even though he's been on a bender.
Bender?
Yeah. Okay.
Bender's the character from that space cartoon.
No, Bender is.
Oh, you're right. Where's Bender from? My mistake.
I thought it was a Bender, but
okay,
I was wrong. So
I just love correcting people.
Okay.
As my wife who's listening at home will go, ah, Dave, you're digging again.
So anyway, he was on a bender. And even though he was on this bender, he actually remembered to bring the bottle full back. He brought a full bottle back, and he put it in the same place where his wife would look for it.
Yeah. So
it just means that maybe he's done it before, and she just hasn't.
Oh. Nice catch there. I didn't see that. I don't know. I thought it was an okay, serviceable play still. The old-fashionedness didn't bother me. It didn't bug me that it was older or that it was familiar territory. Because I think the emotions were valid. And had I not read a couple of... or had guests on this program who were either alcoholics or were married to alcoholics, I would not have really known about how you can go into an incredibly violent rage and not remember it. I would have thought it was theatrical, and I wouldn't have bought it. I wouldn't have believed it. That he could wake up and not remember that he attacks her with a hatchet.
Well, that's another weird thing, too. He goes outside, picks up a hatchet, and is like, oh, no, it's hatchet time.
It was like Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
And he acts as a picture.
Well, that was pretty effective, I thought. But I wouldn't have thought it was real, except that we had Crystal Zeebon on this show, and Warren would be incredibly, you know, he smacked her around, and he was brutal, and then he'd wake up and not really remember what he did. So I would never have believed it, but that's actually true stuff from 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or the fact of, like, that he could go on one little bender and be so horrible. And we've had Peter Tork of the Monkees on here. And he would say, you know, if he took a drink tomorrow, he would be a full-blown alcoholic within a couple of hours. You can be sober for 20 years and go right back to what you were.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, to me, that wasn't old-fashioned.
No, but it's still, I don't know. I just thought it went on. You know, it's like...
And it was not a terribly long play. It's only 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Right.
It wasn't like a three-hour...
It wasn't Nickleby.
No, right, exactly. I don't know. I wasn't moved, really. I wasn't touched.
I think the performances... I thought everyone did... even the small roles were done very well.
Right, the mailman who comes
there was all these
the
wonderful nuances. I thought it was directed well. I thought the set design was excellent.
Said, yeah. Would you recommend it?
If they got a free seat, I'd say go.
If they got a $20 seat.
I'd say okay.
Yeah, for Esapetha or the thing as a whole?
For the whole thing. I mean, for Esapetha, I like her a lot. But I'd like to see her do... I'd pay a lot more to see her in The Piano Lesson again.
Well, okay, yeah.
Or in Two Trains Running, or,
it has to be an August Wilson?
But that's what I've seen her in.
Right, I'd like to see her in Medea. That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Actually, that would be... Esapetha, if you're listening, and I know you are.
Yeah, but I'm like, she's too nice. She's very sweet on stage. She comes across very likable on stage.
Well, yeah, and all the roles we've... Well, no, but
I can't see her. I really can't see her doing the rose tattoo.
Why? That character is very nice. It's a very sweet character. She's not Italian. Anyway, whatever religion you are, you probably... like or maybe love Fiddler on the Roof. It's one of the great, great musicals of all time.
Oh, what
maybe
a great transition.
Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of?
Quick, no.
I don't have it up anymore.
I've been rammed.
You don't have? Oh, that's a shame. You should take some Viagra, Joe. Anywho.
I just love the fact that a bank gets robbed and Carol Channing thinks she personally has been robbed. And then the news stories become about her new house.
House, I know. But enough of that.
Okay.
On to Fiddler and Fiorello, and Tenderloin,
and
the Body Beautiful.
And someone who I'm sure feels Carol's pain.
What kind of segue is that? How would Sheldon Harnick feel Carol's pain?
I think Sheldon Harnick is probably very upset that Carol Channing got robbed.
Yeah.
Even though she didn't really get robbed.
Yeah, okay.
Her bank got... Well, I bank at Washington Mutual, so I, in essence, got robbed right along with Carol Channing.
Did you know she just bought a new house?
I'm going to ask her if I can move in, because someone robbed me.
Terrible people, all of you.
Yeah, but that's what we do on Dave's Gone By. We do terrible jokes inside Broadway.
And now we're going outside Broadway.
Shameless.
We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TogleTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday evening, and we're thinking theatrically and thinking musically here with someone who's responsible for some of the best musicals ever in the history of Broadway. And I do not say that at all lightly. And I'm not even going to do a long intro here because I want to spend more time talking to Sheldon Harnick than talking about him. So Sheldon Harnick, welcome to the Daverhood.
Thank you for those very kind words.
Well, I mean, come on, Fiorello and She Loves Me and, of course, Fiddler on the Roof. It wouldn't quite be the same history of musical theater without those shows.
I have to admit they are good shows.
even with modesty, what can you say about Fiddler on the Roof? There's no way to be immodest about it. And She Loves Me as well, and some of the other stuff. But let's get back to sort of the beginnings of how you got started doing that all, which was mainly through the review circuit, if I'm correct.
When I came to New York, that's true. There were still the reviews. And actually, when I went to Northwestern University, at which time I was planning to be a violinist, not a writer.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, I was contributing songs to the annual student review there. And through that, I met a student who later had a career under the name Charlotte Ray. We became very good friends. She came to New York before I did. And when I came to New York, she asked me if I would write her a piece of material. And I did. And then she was tapped to go into New Faces, the Leonard Sillman's New Faces, and she was going to perform that song. It was called The Shape of Things. Then Abe Burrows saw her and pulled her out of the show, so she was not in that show. But by that time, I'd met the producer, Leonard Sillman, and he told me that they were replacing Charlotte with a wonderful performer named Alice Ghostly.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And he asked if I had anything for her, and I had started a song, which was called The Boston Begin. So I finished it, and Alice did that. That was my debut on Broadway in the New Faces of 1952. Alice had that song, and I must say she stopped the show with it every night.
Well, I'm kind of curious, how come, do you think, over the years, that whole genre of musical, especially on Broadway, kind of died out? We really don't get the review anymore unless it's a tribute to one particular composer or... we just don't really... What happened to it?
Well, what happened, I think, was television. Especially at the height of the reviews, suddenly there were all these television variety shows, Ed Sullivan and so forth, and they could get stars, and they could do topical material every week, Sid Caesar, whatever. They could do topical material, whereas with the review... If you prepared the material, it was maybe 6 months to a year before you could raise the money to get the show on. So by the time you got the show on, you were lucky if there were any topical lines in it at all. Also, the usual show could maybe feature one or two stars, maybe three if they were lucky, not nearly what you could do on television. So I think the review became kind of edged out by what you could do on television. What's ironic about that is that kind of show, the variety show, has more or less, I think, disappeared from television. But the review has not come back. What does come back are shows which are like reviews. They have a theme and that they have numbers which make it like a review. A show like Company, for instance,
in my opinion.
That's kind of like a review format.
That's already still within, feels more like a Broadway show, but I'm thinking the closest I would think is something like Secrets Every Smart Traveler Should Know, or thematic stuff like Pets,
yes.
Where it's an entire show about pets.
And some of the stuff still happens off-Broadway.
Yeah.
Yes, some of it does.
So you went from doing particular songs for particular kinds of performers. At what point did you say, hey, maybe I'm going to take a shot at working on a full-length musical, kind of musical?
Well, first of all, I didn't really write songs for performers.
Well, although, Charlotte Ray,
although I wrote a song for Charlotte, it was a song that could be done by anyone. And that's mostly the way I wrote. I had an idea for a song, and I worked on the song, and then found where I might use that song, but it wasn't necessarily written for a performer.
Okay.
At any rate, happily, my career began to take root as a very an accomplished, capable young writer. And the big break for me came when Jerry Bock had done Mr. Wonderful with a writer named Larry Holofcener. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what happened, but their relationship broke up. And so Jerry was looking for a new lyricist. His publisher, Tommy Volando, knew of my work, and he had me meet Jerry. We got along very well. And Tommy Volando accomplished the impossible. He managed to get producers who were looking for a songwriting team for a new musical. He managed to get those producers to hire Jerry Bock and myself to do that musical, even though we had never written a song together. I mean, that's extraordinary.
Wow.
And the show was called The Body Beautiful back in 1957, I think it was.
And how did it do?
It did not do well. I must say, I learned a big lesson. The company manager of the show, whose name I can't recall, there was a staff meeting, and mostly what I did was listen, because I was kind of the new kid on the block when it came to book musicals. But they were talking about possible directors. The director they wanted to use was a man named George Schaefer, who had done a lot of wonderful work on television, some work in the theater. The company manager said, "Don't use George Schaefer." And I'm thinking to myself, why, is he an alcoholic or something? It turned out that that wasn't the case at all. What the company manager meant was, if you use a director, he should become involved with the show maybe 6 months before you go into rehearsal, so he can really study the script and ferret out all of the weak places and do whatever he can to improve those places before you go into rehearsal. George Schaefer, as it turned out, was so busy, he was so popular, that he could not join our show until about 2 weeks before we were to go into rehearsal. And that's why the company manager said, this is dangerous. But they chose to use George Schaefer anyway. So what we did, George came in more or less unprepared. We had our pre-Broadway tryout, and we worked as hard as we could, and we made a lot of improvements, but I've always felt that the show that we went out of town with, the pre-Broadway tryout, the show that we opened on Broadway with,
uh-huh.
That's the show that we should have taken out on our pre-Broadway tryout, so we could have improved it from there. It was never quite good enough, and we ran about 6 weeks. Ironically, that's the second time I've used that word. Joe Stein, who wrote the book for The Body Beautiful with at that time his collaborator was Will Glickman. Joe Stein was honored by the York Theater, the little York Theater in New York.
Sure.
They did, on successive weekends, they did 4 of his musicals in concert readings. And they had the season lined up, and then suddenly they lost one of those musicals. So they asked Joe if they could do The Body Beautiful. And Joe called Jerry Bock and me, and he said, they want to do The Body Musical. We burst out laughing. We said, but that was a big flop. He said, well, they want to do it. And we thought, well, okay, that won't hurt. The audience who comes to see it, they're going to know it was not successful. Well, they got the right director for it and the right cast for it, and it played wonderfully. It was about 50 years. I think this year it would be 50 years since it opened. We hadn't seen it in all that time. And it was such a wonderful surprise. The audience had a good time. We had a wonderful time.
Oh, great, yeah. Because, I mean, the York is doing the marvelous work when they do that. Because the audience isn't going in there expecting a $15 million Broadway musical hit. They're anticipating some really good songs and a book or parts that don't work, parts that do work. But ultimately a good time in the theater from what was still considered at that point the golden age of musical theater.
And they do a wonderful service by bringing to their audiences for 5 performances shows that maybe didn't succeed but have some element that's really worth seeing again. And that's a terrific thing for them to do.
So you ended up still working, obviously, with Joseph Stein. And, well, what happened after The Body Beautiful?
Well, I was ready to commit suicide after The Body Beautiful. I thought I had my big chance. I blew it. And I thought, okay, it's back to the industrial shows, which is how I made a living. But Harold Prince and his then partner Bobby Griffith had seen The Body Beautiful. We met Jerry Bach and I met with them on opening night, and they told us that they really liked the score. They had problems with the show as a whole, but they liked the score, and they followed through on that because one year later they were doing the show Fiorello, and at first they were looking for. They didn't want a lyricist because they were approaching book writers, and they figured that the book writers themselves might want to do the lyrics, and that's what happened. Every book writer they approached said, well, yes, but I want to do book and lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
As it happens, they didn't care for any of the book writers. When they got to Jerome Wideman, he too said, I would like to do book and lyrics. They said, okay. So Jerry Bach was keeping me informed of what was going on. Wideman submitted some lyrics. And Wideman, of course, was a novelist, so that, as Jerry described it, he said the lyrics were like small novels. He said they were as long as Beowulf. And so what happened was that Al Prince and Bobby Griffith said, Mr. Wideman, we like the sample book scenes you wrote, but we don't think you're the right lyricist. And he said, fine.
Hmm.
So at that point, they set out to find a lyricist. And they went to four different teams and asked them to do songs on speculation. I don't remember who the other three teams were, but Jerry Bach and I were one of the teams. So we had to write four songs on speculation, and happily, when we played our songs, they said, okay, you're it. So we got the job, and Fiorello was successful, unlike The Body Beautiful, so suddenly I was, I hate this term, but I was a marketable commodity.
Well, yeah.
And so my career took off.
And let me ask, a song like Politics and Poker, so was that one of those that just... You were desperate, you needed a song.
No,
and
I think the only two songs, of the songs we wrote on spec, two of them wound up in the show. One of them was the waltz Till Tomorrow, and one of them was a strike number, where Fiorello leads the strike of the garment workers. The other two songs were dismissed. Now, Politics and Poker was an example of how lyricists prey on book writers. Book writers write these wonderful scenes, and then lyric writers come to them and say, hey, I think I can put a song in there, but do you mind if I borrow your best joke? You know? So that's what happened with Politics and Poker. Jerome Wideman had written a wonderful card-playing scene, and I thought that should be a song. And I borrowed whatever I thought could be useful for the song, and we were both happy about it.
Yeah, whatever makes the show go.
Absolutely.
If it services the show, that's the main thing.
Absolutely.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets. Cost you five. Totally up to you.
Okay, Johnny, what are you going to do?
I win.
So am I.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay,
I'm in.
So am I.
Why?
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
Out of bounds, we should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of tape.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Venom.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say. Raise your mind.
I'll
gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try when you think of it, I'm certain it'll run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Dave, he's too bright.
What about Walt Dustin's son?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan? What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about it, Peterson? You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, play for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, running neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average guy a heavy smoker. There's a nominee, and give him all regards, and watch while he learns that in poker and politics, brother, you've got to have that slippery, haphazardous commodity.
Hi, this is Sheldon Harnick, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on station WGBB.
After Fiorello, was Tenderloin next? Or did
Tenderloin was next.
Yeah.
And the mistake we made there was that Fiorello was such a euphoric experience that even before it had opened, while we were still, I think, previewing, Hal Prince and Bobby Griffith and Jerry Bach and I and George Abbott and Jerome Weidman all started to work on Tenderloin. And not enough time. It's almost like the story about George Schaefer. We didn't spend enough time worrying about what we were doing and where the traps might be. And consequently, because it was George Abbott, not George Schaefer, the show was better constructed. But when we opened out of town in New Haven, I remember we had a meeting after the show. We opened badly. Mm-hmm. And after the show, we went to the Taft Hotel to George Abbott's suite, and George Abbott, who was the soul of candor, looked at all of us and he said, "Well, gentlemen, I had a concept for this show and it doesn't work. Any suggestions?" And that was a turning point for me, because up till then I had not really studied the books of the shows that I had done, Fiorello, The Body Beautiful, Tenderloin. I had to study them. I looked through them thinking, where do the songs go?
Right.
And that was my job. But I had nothing to contribute to that meeting at the Taft Hotel, and I thought, I will never let this happen again. God willing, I will get more shows, and I will really study the books and try and anticipate where the weak spots are, so I'll have suggestions as how to fix them. We worked very hard on Tenderloin, and it ran about 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
The way Bobby Griffith and Hal Prince budgeted their shows, they were so smart about it, that the show almost paid off its backers. I think it paid back about 85% or 90% because it was budgeted so intelligently.
That's almost a hit.
Yeah. Almost a hit. But it didn't work, and the show is flawed and rarely, rarely gets produced.
And it's funny that you can sort of say that and know that. I always wonder sometimes when you're out of town with a show or even writing it for Broadway, and you think maybe you don't know until the audience responds, but maybe you do have a gut feeling sometimes that you know it's just not there. Is that true?
I didn't. I really didn't with those shows. And I don't think I've known in the future. But I have lived up to that promise I made myself. I have gotten involved with the books. And consequently, the shows that we did after that, She Loves Me, uh-huh, Fiddler on the Roof, The Apple Tree, The Rothschilds, the ones that Jerry Bach and I did, had good runs. They were, and they do get produced.
Well, sure. I mean, I will get back to Fiddler because I want to spend some extra time on that, of course. But
okay.
Did you see the She Loves Me, The Apple Tree a couple of years ago with Kristen Chenoweth?
Oh, absolutely. We saw it at the Encores at City Center. And in fact, we did a little work on it. And then we were hoping that Kristen would bring it to Broadway, and she did. She had a limited, she could only do it for about 15 weeks.
Right.
But she was superb. She's not only a magnificent voice, but and a good actress and an attractive woman, but she's a genuine clown, and there are very few of those around. So, and aside from all that, she is just a delightful human being. It was just a pleasure to work with her.
Oh, good.
So we, Jerry Bach and I, were involved in the rehearsal process, and we did make changes. We made trims, we changed a line here, we changed, added a line there, and we were very pleased with the result.
Now, that is so, I mean, when I think of that, and the fact that you guys, when I say you guys, I mean Bach, Harnick, Stein, this triumvirate, triumvirate, if you think about it,
You're a natural lyricist.
Thank you so much. But the fact that you're still alive, which is a wonderful thing, why haven't we heard that much from you all in the past 25 years?
Well, I've asked myself that same question, but usually it's because the shows that are offered to you take you in different directions. Joe Stein did ask me to do, he asked me and Jerry to do a show. He wanted to do a show about immigrants to America. But at the time that he had the book, I read it, and to me it looked like a film, not a musical, so I turned it down.
That was Rags?
Now, it turned out to be Rags. At that time, it had a different title. He kept working on it, and he got Charles Strauss and Steve Schwartz, who did a wonderful score for it. But it evolved and became a totally different show from the script that he had sent to me. We did get involved. Joe and I and Jerry got involved with another show about, 5 years ago, and we had... Without going into details, the producer was more or less incompetent, and it all fell apart.
Oh, come on. You've got to go into detail now.
I can't. I'll get sued.
If I look in the New York Post from that era, will I find his name?
Probably.
Yeah.
We hope that eventually we'll be able to go back to work on it.
Oh, my.
If I live long enough.
Well, can you mention the name of the show without that producer stuff? Or what?
Yes. The show was to have been called Miracles.
Oh, was that the Pocket Full of Miracles musical, or was
no.
that Jerry Herman?
No, this was an original of Joe's.
Oh, my gosh, okay.
Based on biblical themes.
But why can't you work on it without having that producer around? I mean, just work on it and try and get it to another...
Oh, we can, but I think all of us have had other obligations that we've had to fulfill.
Oh, sure.
And mine will occupy me for at least the next year, if not more. I'm hoping that I have a long life, long enough to come back to that and try and redo it.
So, Sheldon Harnick, what are you working on this year and next, or now?
Well, a couple of things. My current musical, which I'm trying to do myself because it's I'm having such fun with it, is an intimate musical, 9 or 10 people, based on the play by Molière called The Doctor in Spite of Himself.
Oh, okay.
I don't really have another title yet, but I'm close to finishing a first draft, and then I'll see what I have. So that's one project. Another project, when I turned 80 some years ago, I looked in my files to see if there was some show that really would bear reinvestigation. And I had done a show off-Broadway in 1961 with a book writer named Ira Wallach and a wonderful composer named David Baker, both of whom are no longer with us. We did a show off Broadway called Smiling the Boy Fell Dead, which is the last line of a poem by Browning. Anyway, I had 4 scripts. I read them all, and I find beautiful material in each one of them that wasn't in the final show. So I put together a new script, and I gave it to my wife and said, what do you think? And she said, this is charming. Well, we had a reading of it a year ago at a little theater in New Jersey, and it went extremely well. So that little theater has been trying to find another little theater to produce it with them jointly in a full production. And I just got a call from them last week. They did find that producer, so they're going to do it either late this year or early next year.
Mazel tov, yeah. Look, I am to that.
Thank you.
And by the way, when you say you showed it to your wife, people might be kind of curious that your wife, unless I'm mistaken, is an actress.
She's an actress, and wherever we go around, her stage name was Marjorie Gray. That was her real name, not her stage name, Marjorie Gray. And whenever we go around the country, when there are real theater buffs, and they either recognize her or know that her name was Marjorie Gray, they say, oh, you did that wonderful version of Anything Goes that was off Broadway with Hal Linden. And on the recording, she sang two songs, The Heaven Hop, and I can't remember the other one. People know her for it. So she was wonderful. She, in fact, her career took her to a show called Tovarich, where she played one of Vivian Leigh's employers, the daughter of one of Vivian Leigh's employers. And she and Vivian became very close, very friendly.
Oh, wow.
So she had a career, but when we got married, she chose to give it up because she wanted a family, she wanted a home, she didn't want to have to be on the road. And what she's done instead, she's become, in my estimation, a superb painter. And that's what she does.
Oh, my gosh.
As well as being a wonderful mother and family person.
Cool.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In 2007, I created Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour. It's a TV show by Jews, about Jews, and for everybody. It airs Wednesday morning, 7:30, on Cablevision Channel 20. You can also watch episodes on YouTube. Just search under my name, Saul Solomon, or Shalom Dammit. And God saw that it was good, and you'll see, it's great!
Hi, this is Sheldon Harnick, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on station WGBB.
Thank you, Sheldon Harnick. Thank you so much for being in the neighborhood tonight. And we barely got to Fiddler on the Roof and some of the other stuff that he's done. That's why we're having him back next week on the 258th edition of Dave's Gone By. More with Sheldon Harnick next week. Yay.
You just can never get enough Sheldon Harnick.
Well, he's so vital. I mean, you know, you talk to the man, and he seems like he's in his 50s. The man's in his 80s, which I think is pretty amazing.
Speaking about people in their 80s.
Yeah, well, we're going to save that to the very, very, very tail end. But we got to get to that tail end very quickly because Gospel just walked in. So we got to get to the
Gospel in the house.
Yeah, Gospel in the house. Everybody make room for Jesus. But we have two more minutes. He's coming. He's walking on water, approaching the board.
David, stop it right now. Just stop it and
right,
be nice.
All right. So you do the sponsors then.
Okay, we have the Bridal of Broadway Performing Arts Insider that brought us the lovely...
Sheldon Harnick, yeah. Yes. The lovely and talented Sheldon Harnick. Go to PerformingArtsInsider.com for more information about Performing Arts Insider and a huge, huge discount for Dave's Gone By listeners on subscriptions.
15 cents.
No. A lot more than that. Now, what about you, Lit Minuteman Press?
They're the Copy Kings of Broadway. And...
Where are they next?
They're next to Lohmann's. They're next to Lohmann's Shoes.
And across the street from the regular Lohmann's. 10% off any job, big or small, at Hewlett Minuteman Press. And where should people find out about financing for mortgages and other things?
MortgagesRock.com. MortgagesRock.com.
Yeah. It tells you everything. MortgagesRock.com. And finally, if you're having a party...
It just says it. MortgagesRock.com.
If you're having a party...
It just says fancy schmancy on it, doesn't it?
Fancy schmancy.
If you're having a party, have a fancy schmancy party.
And why should they?
Because it's a good party.
Yeah. And what should they call?
516-797-3229.
Again?
516-797-3229.
For all your party decorating needs, ladies and gentlemen.
Sing it out, David.
Fancy schmancy balloons. Oh, fancy schmancy. Come on, join me, Joe.
No.
Joe Salzone with me.
No.
And
you know what we do at fancy schmancy balloons?
What? Quickly.
You know where we bank? We bank the same place. Carol Channing, who just got robbed.
Well, do we have a...
Along with a lot of other people, I've been robbed. We just bought a new house. It's really the first house I've ever had, not a hotel. This is our house.
Yeah, Carol, it's not about you. I was robbed, too.
Anywho, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening. I gotta remind everybody a couple of things before we get out of here. We do have to scoot.
Joyce, take your pregnancy vitamins.
Of course. Yeah. Funny. Really funny. Congratulations on your heterosexuality, by the way, Jeff. I had no idea. I always assumed you went totally the other way, but there you go. Anywho, Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour airs every Wednesday morning, 7:30, on Channel 20 of Cablevision at Woodbury.
Set your alarm just an hour and a half earlier. Yeah.
Or watch them on YouTube. Watch the first 9 episodes. We got some new ones coming up early in February of Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Saul Solomon's peace-loving Acid Reflux Hour. If you want to get in touch with this program and me...
You can't because your website is under construction.
Well, the website is still there. Just what the website that points to my website is under reconstruction. So in other words, if you go to hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, my website is still there.
Yeah, because you'll remember all that.
Because Dave'sGoneBy.org is still in transition
it's
there.
It's in limbo.
But give it
it's
another couple
of days.
It's with
all dead children. They're in limbo.
Like Malcolm?
I mean, yes, they were killed by him. And write to DaveIsGoneBy@AOL.com to complain. D-A-V as in Victor, E-S, GoneBy@AOL.com. Also, I want to tell everybody to one of the reasons we were able to get Sheldon Harnick on this program is that he's taking part in a program that's put together by WLIW, Channel 21, called The Jews of New York. It's been airing, and you can catch it this week, February 1st, this Friday at 5 on Channel 13, and then later on at night, if you miss it, at 10 o'clock on Channel 21, The Jews of New York and Sheldon Harnick taking part. Find out more at jewsofnewyork.org. Wu Deng, he wrote Fiddler on the Roof, and he will be back, as I said, next week.
We will find out. Is he Jewish?
At least he wasn't the victim of a heinous robbery.
Remember
well, that's because Cal Channing's not Jewish.
Remember, at the hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By website, you can hear 25 old Dave's Gone By episodes anytime for free. Just any time at all, just click and find them. Also, catch my other show, Filler Up, Saturday evenings at 5 o'clock on this station, WGBB. Thank you so much.
Saturday afternoon at 5.
Sunday, what did I say, evening?
Yeah.
It's evening. 5 is evening.
Early evening.
Anyway, thank you to my beloved and wonderful...
As he turns off your mic.
No, I pocketed it up because, of course, you're 10 miles away from the microphone.
Sorry.
Anyway, everybody, want to thank, first of all, my beloved, as I said, adorable, great, amazing wife, Joyce Weil, my non-pregnant wife, Joyce. My very pregnant guest co-host, Joe Salzone. Thank you very much.
Congratulations on the baby, Joe.
Thank you. Mazel tov.
Congratulations on your baby, too.
A Mazel tov cocktail to you. Yes.
Thank you very much to Natasha at WLIW for her help in getting Sheldon Harnick on the program this week. And next, and coming
That's
up the
her
week,
Natasha.
Now, next week is the Super Bowl. We will be here. I'll be live. But the week after, I'll be talking to New York Post sports columnist Phil Mushnick. So
and he might be dead.
So we will be back next Sunday, February 3rd, I believe it is.
Where we hope Carol Channing has recovered.
The 258th episode of Dave's Gone By.
I don't have it anymore.
Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
Jeff Goodman.
And...
Joe Salzone.
Wishing you a good night. Miracle of miracles.
I've been robbed. And gone by.
Young, strong. Oh, I was something in days gone by. With some girl who just happened to catch my eye. Slim, straight. Light on my feet, shoes just skimming the ground. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, follow the beat. Around, around, around. All night circling the floor, till dawn lit up the sky. No one younger than I, indeed. Gone by. And then I met Mrs. Marichick, and ever since I've danced only with her. I bet you think that's incredible.
No.
Young, strong, oh, I was something in days gone by.
Marichick's a beautiful woman.
With some girl who just happened to catch my eye.
I could find the right girl.
Slim. Great light on my feet, shoes just skimming the ground.
Fact is,
one,
I'm a
two,
terrible
three,
dancer.
1, 2, 3, follow the beat. Around, around, around.
I can do it with my hands, all right.
All night, circling
always
the floor,
with my feet.
Till dawn lit up the sky. No one is younger than I.